everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of July 2nd through 8th, 2012. A week mostly of announcements, including a sudden reversal of plans for two of the age's top ladies. First, Yuna Kim, who held a press conference this week to announce she's coming back and will continue to compete until Sochi, her now set endpoint. This after admitting the aftermath of Vancouver left her long on the pressure and short on the motivation, which she talked about in the press conference, but that's no longer the entire story. Eventually, she found her way to training alongside younger Korean skaters in Seoul, and in them, she says she found some motivation and only just made the decision. She doesn't even know who's going to coach her yet, especially because she'd prefer to stay in Korea, though she does hope to have David Wilson as her choreographer. She says she hopes not to put pressure on herself to repeat in Sochi, after which she has her eyes on joining the IOC as its Korean retired athlete member in 2016, after the current one finishes his term. But meanwhile, Carolina Koster, not long after saying publicly she was definitely going on, now says she's having second thoughts, saying, "Now that I've had the satisfaction of climbing onto the world's highest stage, I'm happy and I might choose to resume my life." She says she's going to take a few weeks to decide. She speaks of coaching, finishing her college degree, and eventually trying to get into theater and opera. And to complete it, Miki Ando, who signed up to compete in the Grand Prix without being sure she actually wanted to, has made a clear statement she's going to skate this season, with triple triples in her short and the Grand Prix finale title as her aim, though she's not promising to stay for the Olympic season after. She also confirmed she has split from Nikolai Morozov and, like Yuna, has not decided yet on a new coach. She's not the only skater to leave him recently. We actually heard a good deal about Morozov's group this week, including that it no longer includes Maxim Kovtun or Fyodosiy Efremenkov, amid stories of Morozov having problems with the former. We don't know where Kovtun's gone up to, but there is word that Efremenkov is working with Al Ivanova in Moscow, and both boys are in Russia's official selection pool for the Junior Grand Prix, so they're both still skating for the moment. The pool also includes Kamila Gaitanova and Ivan Beach, so it seems they may not be split after all. Most of our news is from Alina Leonova, who has blogged about 3 weeks of continual travel, mostly through New Jersey, while Morozov tried to find ice available at night before finally settling the group down in Danbury, Connecticut, where they remain until the end of August, and she now has three new programs. Daisuke Takahashi skipped the Jersey tour and is joining the group in Danbury, and rumor speaks of a tango program, but he's got an exhibition tango already, so rumor might just have gotten his programs confused. But the most interesting news from the Morozov group is probably about Florent Imodione is starring in a French movie called Programme Libre. He filmed the movie earlier in the summer in Nice on the practice rink from Worlds, where he was able to train in between shooting. The story is about a skater, in fact, a teenage artist called Gauthier with a tyrannical coach and an equally fraught relationship with his father. He apparently gave a good enough performance that one of the other actors mistook him for an actual trained actor. He talked about how intense filming was for him, how it even reminded him of training sessions, and believes his new programs give him a chance to put his acting experience to good use. Young director Vianney Tosse has apparently been working on this film for years, though he first approached Imodio about it at French Nationals last December, and he will now start taking it to the festival circuit in September, though too late to have his leading man do any promotion for him. After a meeting of the French team in Courchevel and a break at the beginning of August, Imodio will be back in Connecticut to train nonstop until October. In other Russian coaching news, it seems Polina Shelepin has left Eteri Tuberidze, possibly because the coach was focusing on Julia Lipnitskaya at her expense. She has reportedly moved to CSKA Moscow, where there was initially rumor she was in Elena Vorodorizova-Buyaneva's group, though of course then she'd have had to share attention with Adelina Sotnikova, and a new report has her with Svetlana Sokolovskaya, who has no such star right now. Another confusing report involving Buyaneva relates to another one of her students, Artur Dmitriev, who may or may not now be laid up with a broken leg. In other injury news, we have a report that over in California, Mirai Nagasu has suffered some sort of elbow injury. The count has it limiting her ice time, interfering with her jumps, and leaving her having troubles even doing things like putting a jacket on or tying her hair up, which is very alarming, but for the moment, there is no official word on what exactly is wrong. But in final Russian group news, in Alexei Mishin's group over in Italy, we now have film on YouTube of Artur Kaczynski and Elisaveta Taktamysheva running through candidates for their competitive programs this year. There are videos of Taktamysheva doing both of her David Wilson programs, and it turns out her first love story short is to the Summer Nose, the theme to the 1971 movie Summer of 42. Kaczynski was filmed doing a likely first run-through of a program to the piano guy's Beethoven's Five Secrets, which seems to be becoming a popular music choice in the first summer of its existence. Though it looks like that won't be the only piece of music to be heard more than once on the ice this season, we have hints this week of two possible short dances that turn the Yankee Polka into a French can-can. One from the big French team themselves, Nathalie Pachel and Fabian Borza, who posted a drawing of the Moulin Rouge to their Facebook with the caption they wanted to share the theme of their new short. Of course, it's not impossible they're using music from the movie, Similarly themed is a tweet from Asher Hill about his and Kara's Ralph's new short. Yes, we can! Working on our high kick and splits. This short dance is going to be a blast. Being much more creative, on the other hand, are Germans Nelly Gigancina and Alex Gages, whose actual music choices, or at least the ones they know the names of, were published today in an interview, where they talked about going to Ilya Averbuch in Moscow for their programs right after Worlds, though he had never choreographed for a competitive ice dance team before, and they had to work in the wee hours of the morning because that was the only time they could be on the ice unobserved. They don't know where their polka music came from, though they found it combined well enough with a waltz from a Russian movie called The Admiral. Also, though their free dance was previously described as involving zombies, now they're saying actually that's not quite what it is, but it's a comic program called Two from the Grave. It starts with One Tore My Heart and ends with Ram-a-lam-a Bang Bang, and apparently no one knows where the music in the middle came from. Gashi reminds us of this team's general modus operandi. It is, and always has been, our goal to show different characters in different programs. I believe so far we were able to do that. In other important news about them, this Boca Chiganchina is getting German citizenship, saying she's passed several tests and submitted her documents to the government, so unless they reject them for some strange reason, they will be eligible for Sochi. In the nearer future, they intend to debut this season at the Nebelhorn Trophy, and she spoke briefly on competing against her younger brother, Ruslan Chiganchin, as he and Victoria Sinitsina are making their senior Grand Prix debut in Russia. I can't really explain what my feelings are. It is very, very strange to compete against my own brother, the little brother on top of that. I know that for Ruslan, it is much more interesting to compete against me than the other way around. Obviously, to beat the big sister would be great for him. They see their events as too stacked for them to easily medal on the circuit, so their goals for the season are to defend their national title and improve on their Europeans and Worlds finishes and get back in the top 10 for the latter to secure their way to the Olympics. Gigancina has also been helping prepare Musicals on Ice, Oberstdorf's summer ice shows, but both skaters made clear that they don't intend to go behind the boards after retirement. The ISU made an announcement too, the official one of this year's Grand Prix series, with exact dates for all events culminating in the finale in Sochi. They have removed the pair's ability to skate on both the senior and junior circuits, now they have to pick. They also confirmed a few things that had been observed. The third event option didn't last more than one season, and newly formed couples, where one of them finished in the top 12 one of the previous 2 years, as well as comeback skaters, were included in the initial selection in accordance with their world's placement history. Those in the top 75 of the season's best list who need to earn the minimum scores may do so at the Salt Lake City Competition, the Nebelhorn Trophy, the Andrzej Napalin Memorial, the Finlandia Trophy, or the Cup of Nice, and they have bowed to reality in not requiring host invites to have this minimum score, though it remains strongly suggested that they do. Over in Australia, selection is also very much on skaters' minds, as they competed this week in the Winter Sun in Brisbane, the results of which will be used when making international assignments. The big star, of course, was one comeback skater, Chelsea Lee, who had a popped axle in her short and a couple of singles in her free and some other issues besides, but was the only one of the seven senior ladies to rotate any triples at all, avoiding even partial downgrades and staying on her feet to score a total of 131.27, nearly 30 points more than the 101.86 of second place finisher Chantelle Carey, who was the only other skater to even partially rotate a triple, when in her short, the triple loop that was supposed to be a combo and still more or less failed was only partially downgraded. Her other four triples were awfully downgraded, and she had a fall in time violation in the free. In third and fourth, with 90.5 and 83.91 respectively, Sarah Passfield and Jamie Nobbs both had a fall in full downgrade in the short and a fall in the free. Well, Passfield also had a time violation in the latter and a lot of singles, though what doubles she did in the free were relatively clean. While Nobbs was more messy in the free and also had difficulty with her non-jump elements, allowing Passfield, with higher presentation scores, to stay ahead despite a lower tariff in both programs. Within the top five, everyone had the same ranking in the short, free, and overall. Six senior men, none of whom had tried a triple axel, told a similar story, although here there was a little more movement. Not involving the top two. With a score in the short that broke 50 and one in the free that came extremely close to breaking 100 for a total of 152.29, David Kranjek dominated both segments, despite a full downgrade on a triple-toe attempt in the short and a doubled flip in the free and other errors, which included on his lutz in the short. But he was the only man to land that lutz clean in the free, where he suffered no downgrading or falls, while Andrew Dodds, who was the only other man to rotate a lutz and did it okay in the short, where he fell on a triple-toe attempt, did not do so well with it in the free, where he fell three times and saw all but one of his other triples downgraded. His overall total was 125.48. Third in the short, and in fact apparently close to Andrew Dodds there, was Brendan Carey, who actually pulled off a triple lutz triple toe there, even if he messed up his axle, fell on his salchow, and did pretty badly on all his spins, to the point that one of them was even invalidated. He managed third, largely by avoiding downgrades, while behind him, Jordan Dodds fell on a fully downgraded triple loop and had a little combo and spin trouble of his own. but in the free, Jordan Dodds had only one partial downgrade. Emily had a fall in two singles, among other things. He also had a good triple, while Carrie had no good triples and three singles, plus an axel that wasn't even that, and, in fact, no element at all that didn't have some sort of issue. He dropped to fifth in the segment and fourth overall, 113.02, just behind Jordan Dodds, 114.41. Another Dodds, Matthew Dodds, who finished last overall in the singles, was with Emma Greensill, the only entry in the senior pairs. The two of them scored a total of 88.69. There were no senior ice dance teams. In the juniors, Kailani Crane, with a total of 105.79, was the only lady of 13 to break 100, but in second, Taylor Dean, who withdrew from the senior competition, with 91.95, actually outscored Zara Passfield. A two-skater competition saw Darian Kaptich beat Ryan Dodds for the men's title, 103.79 to 87.93. Jordan Dodds skated pairs with Eliza Smith as that competition's only entry to score 84.95, and New Zealand guest team, Ayesha Campbell and Jaden Spaden, with a total score of 103.47, beat two Australian teams by nearly 20 points. In the US, though quite a few club competitions are imminent, the only one happening this week was the Hidden Valley Open in Escondido, California, which saw both Vanessa Lamb and Caroline Zhang compete. Lamb's short program was Dmitri Shostakovich's music from The Gadfly, and Zhang skated to last year's short, albeit with the jumps rearranged. Both went for triple-double combos on the short and stayed on their feet through them, but Lamb's were slightly harder and she scored higher, 57.67 to 52.54. She also stayed up through an excellent free, though she had some dubious rotating, that nonetheless left her with a very good score of 114.63, while Zhang, skating to Tarando, fell trying the triple flip and triple lutz and scored only 97.33. Four selections made already for international competitions. Kurt Browning has officially been added to the lineup of the Medal Winners Open, and there's an ISU announcement out there that also lists Shizuka Arakawa and Takashi Honda, though the website does not. Likewise, there is now contradictory info for the Japan Open the next day. The only change on the website adds Elena Getovanishvili to Team Europe, but the ISU announcement also adds Evgeny Plushenko and rounds Team Japan out with Mao Asada, but removes Gracie Gold from Team North America. Meanwhile, the lineup for Carnival on Ice includes everyone listed on the website, but not those listed only in the announcements. A little less confusing, thankfully, is Ireland's announcement that they are sending their junior national champions Conor Steiglum and Deirdre Feigre to the Junior Grand Prix in Lake Placid. Feigre had an event last year, but this is the first time Ireland's ever even had more than one skater on the circuit at a time. News of a split this week, unfortunately, from Switzerland. Anai Moran has been abandoned by another partner as Timothy Lehman announced his retirement. There's no actual word on her, but that can at least be taken as a sign of her not giving up. Also, unfortunately, still of uncertain status, after all, is Travis Major, and here I must make a correction from earlier. When I repeated a declaration in a college magazine article about him and newly junior pairs skater Morgan James that he was skating with Alexandria Shaughnessy, without checking to make sure she'd suddenly switched to ice dance, she is actually skating with James. They're listed for Liberty Open. Major does speak in the article as if he has a partner, but he's not registered for Lake Placid. In more wide-scale news, Christy Yamaguchi is going to have to wait to advocate for Lake Tahoe. The U.S. Olympic Committee said this week they're not bidding for the 2022 Olympics. They thought their chances would be better for the 2024 Summer Games or 2026 Winter Games, and so now evaluating the possibility of bids for those. And finally, in Sun Valley, Sun Valley on Ice, as the summer show has recently renamed itself, had their first show on the 4th, with Ryan Bradley backflipping to Footloose and Nathan Chen being even more attention-grabbing, and Saturday, Jeremy Abbott performed. For good measure, Bradley had an interview published too, where he talked about his extremely busy schedule and skating on cruise ships with girlfriend Aaron Reed, though since he's leaving the ship to do shows like this one, he does solo rather than group numbers, comic ones with props and costume changes. He also talks about performing the two trio numbers in the Young Artist Showcase, and how it was a bit stressful trying to remember two programs learned so quickly into the same music while really not wanting to let the choreographer down by making a mistake. Aside from the changing guest stars, the regular lineup is prepared to add variation from show to show, and have upped the comic and group skating as well as from change of cast, with Fiona Saldua and Dmitry Sukhanov coming in July 28th and August 4th, while Lena Leonova and Andre Cavalco are performing an Everbrook Sochi light show in London. The list of guest stars continues to fill out. Eli Kulik and Courtney Hicks have been announced for previously TBA'd slots in the August 11th show. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.